This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is the administrator of USDA's Farm Service Agency in Washington, D.C., Zach Ducheneau. He'll join us in just a few moments. First off, Brad Rippey. He's a meteorologist in Washington at USDA and has been looking at corn emergence nationwide.
39% emerged by May 22nd, well behind the five-year average of 51%, even further behind 61% emerged on this date last year due to the rapid planting pace. And again, in the far upper Midwest, North Dakota, just 1% emerged, 21% is the five-year average. And just showing the struggle that upper Midwestern producers are dealing with this year with cool, wet soils and ongoing unfavorable planting conditions.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Zach Ducheneau, who's the administrator of the Farm Service Agency in Washington, D.C. Zach, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tony, it's great to be here. Thanks for the help in getting the word out.
Well, here we are rolling into, for some areas, planting has wrapped up. For others, planting is beginning, and for others, they're trying to find a way to get into the fields, either because it's too dry or it's too wet. Really, we've seen a broad spectrum of weather. What are you seeing when you look back home in South Dakota?
Oh, man, I had a chance to do a tour out west here in the last couple of weeks. Started in Minnesota, went on across over to Montana, and you see everything from producers that were in D3 drought last year whose land is too wet to plant right now this late in the year to ongoing extensive drought impacts up in Montana where producers aren't even seeing any green up in the country.
You know, I've just tried to think back in time to determine whether or not we've seen this many weather-related events all at one time or all over a couple of years, and it really just reinforces the work that USDA does and that safety net, if you will, that's there for producers. I'm sure you've heard some firsthand experience about producers who appreciate that.
I have, and you know, what's really interesting to note is that in the course of visiting with producers around the country, they all can hearken back to a time when they saw things this bad, but never in so many different geographical areas. You know, in the Great Plains, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, we had some really dry years, both in the 70s and the 80s. During those, Minnesota was good. Kansas was good. But now we've got this so widespread. I think it's a clear indicator that our climate is changing. And we need to enable our producers to have the tools they need to join us in the fight to mitigate that.
I'm going to step away from our conversation on that front for just a moment and talk about the general uncertainty that there is around the world right now. And you really don't have to stray very far from the headlines of Ukraine and Russia. We know that is putting some pressure on markets around the world. And I think what I'm trying to help do here is tee up this announcement that was made earlier this morning on the Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP. What can you tell us?
Well, what we're doing this year to help producers kind of navigate that uncertainty and maybe just get a little step ahead for next year is offering producers the opportunity to voluntarily terminate their CRP contract, which would have been expiring this year, a little early, and start field preparation and start getting ready for next year after the primary nesting season this year.
Obviously, the CRP program has been very beneficial. I mean, we've seen, and many would think that we would be back into Dust Bowl era days had we not had the CRP. But as we talk about the CRP program and doing this, what are some of the details? How does that happen? Is there some paperwork? Is there a call to the office? What are the steps?
So the producer will need to make a written request to have this consideration given to them. And the important change is that producers can always, at the end of the contract, go in there and do some of these things, but there's typically a cost of that we withhold from that last rental payment. In this case, we're going to waive that so that the producer can go out there without any economic repercussions and do this again after the primary nesting season.
Let's now come back over, if you don't mind, on the issue of the ERP, and this is the emergency. Help me out here. I've already forgot what the acronym stands for. Emergency Relief Program. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's right. Yep.
Tell us what's happening on that front.
Well, the Emergency Relief Program is phase one of the crop-based assistance that was authorized in September by Congress for us to carry out. That's a $10 billion program. And as we heard input on how to deliver that program more effectively from the field, stakeholders and our staff said, please, let's do something different and better. So we listened and we took a look at what we could do in phase one to get the most applicants scooped up the soonest that we could at the lowest burden on our staff. So we used existing data that was available through approved insurance providers, worked very closely with our sister agency, RMA, and we're sending out today, this week, we're sending out forms that are pre-filled for producers. This isn't the WIP Plus. This is something far better, far improved. The WIP Plus program had a form with 200 and some fields to fill out. This form, the producer looks it over, works closely with their insurance provider or their insurance agent, makes sure the information is correct, checks a box that agrees to linkage, and signs that paper and sends it back in, and then we process it for payment.
Zach, when we talk about federal paperwork, it's kind of interesting. There's a place on nearly every form that says this will take, 32 hours to complete or whatever. I found this kind of interesting, 0.176 hours to actually fill out this application. That's less than 15 minutes. That in and by itself is a huge accomplishment, I would imagine.
Yeah, we're really proud of that, and we think we've developed a process that we can use in the future should there be the need for other ad hoc disaster programming. We're trying to change the way we do things, not just do things.
Now, also on farmers.gov, I found this earlier, is the top six emergency relief program checklist items for eligible farmers. Is that something you would suggest producers check out if they want to know more information?
Yeah, and I think, Tony, you're probably referring to those six forms that we need to have as a regular course of doing our business. It's always a good idea for producers to check in with their county office, make sure all of their forms are up to date so that there are no delays in the delivery of these much-needed resources.
Well, we've talked about the ERP, but let's throw another letter in there, and I think I can figure this one out. It's the Emergency Livestock Relief Program. So how does that differ from ERP and what's happening there?
You bet. So that was Congress specifically authorized us to deliver $750 million to livestock producers who were adversely impacted. And as you know, the standing disaster programs for livestock are not as mature as the programs that provide the safety net for our crop growers. So as we started to look at this, it became apparent that where there were these weather events, there is a body of data that exists. And again, heeding the feedback from the field, from our stakeholders, from our staff, a simple program. In the Emergency Livestock Relief Program, we use the information available from the Livestock Forage Disaster Program, LFP, and made the payment based on that information without the producer having to come into the office at all. Now, we understand that because of the nature of our programs and the alphabet soup, sometimes it's challenging to know what you may be eligible for and what you may not. Livestock Forage Disaster Program triggers based on the drought monitor, the U.S. drought monitor, which you can find on the internet, probably even find a link on our webpage. So if you have a chance to take a look at that and see that, well, man, I would have qualified for Livestock Forage Program, and that would have qualified me for ELRP, turn in a late filed application. Because of the extenuating circumstances that existed and the fact that we're building a program on data, and you might not have been in there, we're going to be considering late filed applications for the Livestock Forage Disaster Program for 2021.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. Is the website a good place to go just for resources? And obviously the local office is good as well. What's your kind of final thought here, your final thoughts to producers as they consider the ERP, the ELRP, and the announcement today on CRP?
My final thoughts are thank your field staff, call in and check in with them, make sure you've got everything you need up to date. But a big thank you goes out to all of our county employees who have said, hey, we've got to find a better way to do this. We've got to have the information more timely, and we are making sure that we're listening to them. I get a chance to visit in these county offices every day, and we do our best to extend our gratitude to them. And oftentimes they're put in a position where they've got to be the person telling the producer no. And that's never their job. We want to change the culture here, help them know that their job is to advocate for those producers and inclusion. And we just ask that our producers extend that appreciation to the staff, because they're working super hard for you. And we want them to hear it firsthand instead of from the likes of me.
Again, you can find out more online at farmers.gov. That's farmers.gov. Zach Ducheneau is administrator of USDA's Farm Service Agency in Washington, D.C. on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau.
We all want to work quickly and effectively on the farm. Livingston Machinery has the all-in-one machine to make it happen. The MLT 840 telescopic handler from Manitou with a max capacity of 8,800 pounds is the ideal choice for all of your rough terrain farm handling tasks, including feeding, harvesting work, and bulk loading. With a variety of attachments and an impressive 115 horsepower, your to-do list never dwindled so fast. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with the Farm Service Agency online, farmers.gov. That's farmers.gov.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Trade, supply chains, decarbonization, and clean energy. Some of the focal points within a new economic framework announced by President Joe Biden Monday in Tokyo, Japan.
The launch of the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework for Prosperity.
The U.S., along with other nations within the Indo-Pacific region.
Australia, Brunei, India, Republic of Korea, Malaysia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam.
Plan to enter into negotiations on key pillars of the framework, while emphasizing flexibility, resiliency, sustainability, inclusiveness, and competitiveness in its development. The president also called the new agreement an open framework, meaning other nations could join the agreement, being acronymed IPEF, in the future.
The future of the 21st century economy is going to be largely written in Indo-Pacific. The Indo-Pacific covers half the population of the world and more than 60% of the global GDP.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.